8:01 the time, a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show, and welcome to a beautiful foggy day right now. It's going to clear up and be sunny and absolutely gorgeous the rest of the day and then the rest of the week, so be ready for that. As we do each and every Monday, we welcome a different artist into our corner, and we are delighted that Frankie Duchesne, Director of Marketing and Sawdust Historian, brings us such great talent each and every week. Good morning, Frankie. How are you?
Good morning, Ed. Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm very thankful for the talent you continue to bring into this room and the people we get to talk to. I called him phenomenally talented leading up to this. You wouldn't disagree with that, would you?
I would not disagree with that.
All right. Ron Shearer, a mosaic artist. We welcome you from Sawdust Art Festival. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am doing terrific.
Good. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you. First of all, in getting ready for this, Frankie sent me a history of mosaic art, basically. I got the full rundown on ancient Mesopotamia. I got everything.
Oh, my.
Did you study it before you started? How did you get started in mosaic art?
Well, when I was a... mosaic art... When I was a lad of 8 years old, right. My mother used to do mosaic work, right. Not commercially, just for herself. Okay. And I used to help her with her mosaics, not placing tile or not design. I mean, an eight-year-old, what does he do? Well, I can cut tile. Okay. That was my job. Before I went out and played in the morning, she said, now cut all these blue tiles and cut all the pink tiles, and you can go out and do and play.
Right.
So I did that. And then about, I'd say roughly 50 years later, mm-hmm. I found myself in Italy, in a little town called Montepulciano.
Okay.
And we were walking through the town, and there was this little shop, and it had a little sign on the door, and it said Mosaica. And I opened the door, walked in, and there's a gentleman sitting there at a counter doing all of these beautiful mosaics. Right. And he had a few people standing around him, watching him do it. And I joined in. I was watching him. And I was just blown away. It was the art that he was producing was absolutely beautiful. Right. And I thought to myself when I left that store, I was there about 2.5 hours. And as I left, I'm thinking, you know, when I was 8, I cut tiles. I ought to be able to make them as open. So I went home and tried.
Right.
And practiced and failed and practiced. But my first big mosaic I did was a still life, a vase with some daffodils in it.
Okay.
And I made it, but I, incidentally, I was at the Sawdust as an exhibitor, and I was doing metal art.
You're also a metalsmith.
I do metal work. But I didn't want to take my one mosaic to the Sawdust. And so what I did is I put it in the Orange County Fair.
Okay.
Because every summer at the fair, they have a hobbyist kind of a...
Right.
Display and you put your stuff. Well, unbeknownst to me, they actually vote on them.
Right.
And Lord and behold, 10 days later, I was notified I got second place.
Congratulations.
For my very first mosaic. So I thought, wow, maybe there's an avenue here that I could.
Did you keep the vase?
I still do have I do have my first mosaic.
Oh, good, good.
And yeah.
How does metalsmithing translate into a mosaic art? Completely separate practices?
Actually, I do my mosaic is I use glass tile.
Okay.
I like it's called a smolty tile. It's made in Mexico, and it's an opaque. It's not like stained glass. A lot of folks get it mixed up with the stained glass, but this is opaque. It comes in little 1-inch squares, and it is glass though. And occasionally, you might nick yourself.
Right.
So when you ask about how does the metal art, well, in the metal art, I burn myself, right? Because I'm welding and stuff. Right. And once in a while, I nick my finger. and with the glass.
So they both share a danger.
So they do. Yeah, they're both dangerous. No, not at all.
You mentioned your mom, and you used to cut tiles for your mom.
I did.
Grade her mosaic art.
Well, you know what? This was in the 50s.
Right.
And the folks, that was a big trend in the 50s. Right. And a lot of housewives started mosaic. There was a fella in Costa Mesa that had classes of 25 or more people at one time learning mosaics. So it was kind of a fad thing.
Right.
It just kind of swept through. But to answer your question, I have a mosaic that is timeless that my mother did. I ended up in the family. I got it. Okay. And it's about 4 foot long. And what else? It's a table with fruit on it. It was either fruits or flowers.
Right.
And this is beautiful. But if you looked at it today, this is 70 years ago, or 65. It looks just like I just made it yesterday.
Wow.
So I have it hanging. It's just gorgeous.
Right.
So they stand the test of time. It's something that if you do a mosaic, if you learn how to do it, I'm convinced everybody can do it. It's super easy. It has a real zen quality to it.
Right.
You know, a lot of folks come up and say how tedious it must be. It's absolutely the opposite.
I was thinking to myself, wow, it has to be really, I was thinking tedious. When you walked in the door, I'm thinking it has to be a tedious.
That's the normal reaction.
So it works out, Frankie, that he's teaching classes because he's got this completely immersive 2-day, 6-hour total. Is that it? It's, over 2 days?
Well, yes. It's 2 3-hour classes.
Okay.
And it runs a week apart, so there's homework, and the folks get when they come in, they get the palette.
Right.
We draw on it. I show them how to cut the tiles and get started. There's a learning. It takes a little bit of practice to cut the tiles, but you take the tiles home.
Right.
You take the tool home. Each person gets a tool and tweezers and glue and just about everything you need to do the mosaic.
As you roll through town and you see a blank space on a wall, you think to yourself, this is a great spot for a mosaic.
Yeah, you know, I was really jealous when the bank got this 6-foot square mosaic that they received from the bank or in front of the bank. And it was just, it's really beautiful. Yeah, I'd love to try something like that.
Right.
How
large can you work?
The largest piece I did was a poster, a copy of a Jimi Hendrix poster.
Love
and
that.
It was 3 square feet. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It was just his head.
Right.
And it was a black and white. And it was beautiful.
Ron, did your wife keep that one? Because you mentioned to me over the weekend that his wife keeps everything he makes.
I love that.
I don't blame her.
Actually, I sold it to a record producer. Mm.
Very cool. Very, nice. Very cool.
So it's somebody's house.
And I have to ask, any other rock stars that you would be interested in making or just Jimmy was it?
Well, no, actually, it's, you know, I kind of go through it and pick something that I want to do because they're a big one like a 16 by 25 inch or something like that. You're going to have about 100 hours in it.
Okay.
When you're done.
Wow.
So it's something that you don't want to do. You just can't pop them out. So I really look something that grabs me, that looks hard for me. I like the intricacy of cutting the tiles real little and that people appreciate the detail in them.
There has to be that geometric thing working in your head as you're cutting tiles so that it's sized right. See, for me, I think if I'm doing a Jimi Hendrix, I'm thinking, well, his eyes have to be the exact right size for the rest of the face.
Yes.
Is that where you put the most thought? Where's the concentration?
Well, actually, the concentration is the cutting of the tile and placement of the tile and the direction of tile.
Right.
The artwork itself don't get me wrong. I'm not an artist to where I take a blank sheet and I draw Jimi Hendrix's head, and it actually looks like Jimi Hendrix.
Right.
I cheat a little bit, and okay. I use tools that might enhance it on a wall, like a projector or something.
All right. Well,
but my art isn't in the drawing of the figure. It's in the tile work.
Right.
It's in the placement and color and all of that.
Right. And the unique tiles that you use, that you get
These
in Mexico.
Are great tiles. Now you don't have to use glass tile. There's all kinds of different kinds of tiles out there that you can use.
Right.
And there's a companies on the internet that sell tiles and all kinds of tools and stuff to make it.
And are there adhesives that you use that won't damage the tiles or?
Absolutely. Okay. I use a adhesive for glass.
Okay.
And it sets on the backboard is a hardy backer. When you probably everybody might be familiar with.
Right.
And these are suitable. You can put them in a bathroom after you're done, where the steam from a shower or something.
Right.
Or you can leave them outside in a covered area. Or I prefer to put them inside the house.
Right.
You put a frame on it. And they're not expensive to frame. We all know when we do a painting or we do something, that's half the cost. And then you go to the framer and it's an expensive.
Right.
It can get expensive. But framing a mosaic, all you need is the outer dimension,
right.
Because there's no glass, there's no board, they're not that expensive.
That makes perfect sense.
To finish, sure.
So during the show, Ron, it's been a while since you've been in the show. I mean, I knew you were set up for this summer, but when was the last time?
In the show in 19.
19. So I was looking through my footage of you over the years, and the last one of the. Because over the weekend, he had all of his work in the Healy House, which is our common space on the grounds for his class. And there was one piece there that I particularly really love, and it's the irises. He recreated the irises by Vincent van Gogh, or Van Gogh, if you will. But
uh-huh.
And it's beautiful. And that's the one you said your wife insisted that it was hers.
I'll make something, and my wife says, "Oh, now that's for me. I like it."
Well, I remember. So you pretty much do one every show. You it takes you an entire show, and even then, you probably don't finish.
Well, I do. Yes, I try. I work in my booth, and just like the gentleman that I walked in on in Italy,
the Italian guy.
Yeah, I do the same thing in my booth, and it's really interesting. People just love to watch it, and it's. It's just fun to do, and it's fun to interact and answer questions. And in fact, there was a gal, if I may, there was a gal that came by my booth a couple seasons, and every summer she'd come down here to visit her sister, and she was from the Motherlode country up near McCallamy Hills in that area.
Okay.
And but she didn't have but she loved my mosaics, but she didn't have any avenue to start with up there.
Right.
So I just showed her a few things, and a couple seasons go by, and she shows me in her phone pictures of this lion that she did that was fantastic. I couldn't believe it. All self-taught. So everybody can do it. It's not that difficult.
Imagine what a full circle that is, though, because earlier when you were telling the story about Italy, I was thinking of the times I've seen you in your booth demoing and the people who surround you and stay with you because it takes you. I mean, going back to the video I found of 2018 of you doing the irises, I remember the first part of the video, I have like a few segments of that. In the first part, you were just laying down some just tiny pieces of tile, and it was very raw early beginning. And then I came back maybe a day later, and you had only maybe created like 2 inches.
Yeah, it can take, well, and not only that, though, at the show, though, you're constantly interrupted and
right.
You stop to talk. You don't.
Right. That would frustrate me a little bit. I think if I'm working,
it's not. So it does slow down the process. I like to listen to good music and sit in a quiet atmosphere. It's really what I tell a lot of the folks is when you get into mosaics, you just have to allow yourself the time to actually do it.
Right.
So many people. And I've done it. I'd say, oh, I have a doctor's appointment. But heck, for 30 minutes, I can do most.
Right.
You can't. You got to sit down and say, wow, I got 3 hours here.
Right.
Nobody's going to bother me. I turn the music on and I do my most. It's the best.
Do people bring you pictures and say, can you make this a mosaic?
Yes.
You get that a lot?
Yes. Pets.
Pets.
Dogs,
I was cats. That was going to be my next question. So you.
Yeah.
You're open to that.
Well, yes. faces.
Right.
You got to understand that mosaic is kind of an abstract, too. It's right. Not a photograph. You're not going to get it. Exactly.
Right.
I mean, you're going to get, if it's a pet or if it's a person, you're going to get the features and you're going to recognize them, but it's not a photograph.
Right. And it shouldn't be. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's, yeah.
But I do houses. Right. A lot of people that have a second home.
Right.
I did one in Italy of a gentleman that had a house in Italy, and I did his home there, and he hung it here. You know, that sort of thing.
And here so. You also had one of Crystal Cove. Was that Crystal Cove?
I do. Yeah, that yes. was Crystal Cove. I brought it. It was 44, number 44. Mm-hmm. And I captured that.
So and your
that
and your wife has it currently.
I have it, yeah.
Okay.
You know, but it's not hanging. It's in my arsenal.
Okay. And and what are you working on now?
I just finished a great mosaic. And it is, there isn't even a name for it. But I like, part of what I like to do is keep things simple. I like black and white, but I also like the vibrant colors that the tiles have to offer.
Right.
And red is one of my favorites,
because
right. there's like five different reds, if you can imagine. And one's brighter than the other. But I'm doing right now, I just finished it's about a 32-inch square, and it's of a girl who has a black hat on. It's hard to explain.
Okay.
But it's fantastic, very sexy.
In the pictures that Frankie sent over to me, I find your color, the use of colors is just tremendous, and vibrant is the word I need to use
yes.
there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's the part I like.
Right.
Because you know, I have a palette right now of about 150 colors, and even on that palette, each tile, when you get it, it's a blue on the top, it's one shade, and you turn it over and it's kind of a different shade.
Right.
So now you've got 300 different colors. I'm not saying everybody needs to have that many
right.
colors, but when I started, I bought the basic color palette, and then each time I'd reorder, I would order another few colors.
Right.
So and then I But come down, yeah. Come down the sawdust. It's great.
Now, do you have a favorite? Was that your favorite, the one you're working on now with
you
the
know,
red and
yeah,
the
one
the
I'm doing, all of the ones I do, Jimmy was one of my favorites.
Right.
I've done the self-portrait of Vincent Van Gogh.
Okay.
His self-portrait in the straw hat. That's a real favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. But they're all. I mean, I don't do them if I don't like them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's...
I love this guy. Mm-hmm.
But there isn't one that you finished and you are like your wife? Your wife wants to keep all of your work, but you, are you, is there, has there been one where you've...
Well, I think my favorite, okay, yeah, that's a fair question. I think my favorite is there's a famous Vogue color or a Vogue cover...
Right.
Image.
Right.
And what it is, it's a black and white.
Right.
And it's a girl, and she's standing there, and she has a net over her face. And she looks through I think it was a Vogue cover in the 30s.
Okay.
And I found that, and I looked at that, and the immediate question was, gee, I wonder if I could put the veil, it's a veil, mm-hmm. over her face, and yet pull it off. And,
right.
still see the face under the veil. And it did. It came out mm-hmm. terrific.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
It looks great.
Love to see that.
And that's probably my favorite.
That's in the package that you sent me? Thank you so very much.
And you know what's interesting is Anjo and I were looking at that on Saturday, and we noticed all the, you know, you were really sensitive to details, because underneath that, with just black and white tiles, it was really difficult, I would imagine, to try to try to get those little pinpoints. Like you have a little highlight on the lip.
Uh-huh.
You have a little bit of highlight in the eyes. You
right.
can actually see the pupils of the eyes.
You do.
So it's just those little those little tiny details really made it pop.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's interesting because what I said like before was people really appreciate the detail.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the harder the image, the more I like it. Because it's going to bring out those comments.
How long did that one take you? How many hours did you put in for that?
You know, it's to fill in the space, to make it simple, like a 16 by 22 or 24, right. whether it's that one or whether it's some other picture, they're all about the same time because you're covering a stationary area.
So,
and it's about 100 hours, 90 to 110 hours.
That's an investment. That's a time investment. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
If our listeners wanted to take a class, Frankie, when can we take a class with Ron again?
So Ron's two-day workshop, this current one, we're going into Saturday is his part two of the workshop. That class is sold out.
Okay.
His next session is in May.
Uh-huh.
He has a class in May. I believe it's early May. And then, and then he also has... I know you have one coming in June. Well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are you?
I do recommend his May class is almost sold out.
Wow.
So, and it's a two consecutive Saturdays.
Okay. So you got to jump in it as soon as you can. Go to sawdustartfestival.org to register for Ron's class. And are you part of the Sawdust this summer or is he there this summer?
Yes.
All right. That's going to be nice. We'll come bother you during your work. We'll come interrupt you a lot as you're trying to work. Frankie Duchesne, thank you so very much. What other classes do we have?
So we do have some classes this weekend. We have a Magic Castle Workshop with Nancy Williams. She has two sessions, one on Friday and one on Saturday. It's a three-hour workshop, and this one's a little bit different because not only do you make these little sweet little fairy dolls, mm-hmm. but you also make a beautiful castle, like a wooden portable castle that is handheld, and you decorate that, and so you make a little home for your wonderful little fairy.
Very cool.
It's a very sweet class. And then you also have cyanotypes on textiles. We had Gabe Sullivan on recently. We talked about his class. So this is his first textiles class with cyanotypes, and that one's supposed to be really fun, and that's on Saturday. That one is open for registration.
Okay.
We also have a new class this weekend called Sunshine Swirl Watercolor with Tim Haney, who I hope to bring on someday soon.
Okay. Thank you so very much. And you know what? I knew I was going to like meeting you, and I just absolutely love this conversation. Ron Shearer, and yes, phenomenally talented is the word that we'd use to describe. At Sawdust this summer, you can catch him again in June if you want to catch the full two slate of classes. Go to sawdustartfestival.org. Frankie Duchesne, thank you so very much. Ron Shearer, thank you so very much for being here this morning.
Thank you.
8:25 the time.